let's welcome our online watchers this morning too. Let them know that we love them and appreciate them too. So, hey, I just want to let you know that we are, most of you know that we have, Bethel has four campuses. We have one here, we have one in Sweetwater, we have one in Albany, and we have one in Stamford. And we're one big body in separate towns, and we all unify together. And so it's fun to always celebrate what's going on in our other campuses. And so I got a text from Luke Sprayberry, our Albany campus, just a few moments ago, and they're about to baptize over 20 people over there in Albany this morning. So, yeah, let's put our hands together and celebrate with those guys. So we're here today. We're in our third week. We've been going through the book of Proverbs. We've been looking and discussing the wisdom in the book of Proverbs, also known as the book of wisdom. This book was written by a guy named Solomon. And according to the Bible, Solomon was the wisest man that has ever lived. And so I think it's important for you and I to recognize and to realize we need a little bit more wisdom. Can I hear a good amen? No matter what age, what stage we are in life, we could all use a little bit more wisdom. And so the book of Proverbs starts out and it says that Solomon took his pen and paper out and he wrote this book to encourage us, to teach us, and to train us in wisdom and in insight. He said that a life of godly wisdom and discipline equals a successful life. A life of godly wisdom plus discipline equals a successful life. That really sounds pretty easy. But how many of you know it's easier said than done? Can I hear another good amen? There's one particular topic that Solomon talks about. In the first seven chapters in the book of Proverbs, Solomon spends 3.5 of these chapters discussing one topic. One topic, one temptation, one trap, and one sin. He spends a lot of time talking about this one thing. And so today, that's going to be the topic of our discussion. I'm going to read some scripture to you today. I'm going to read more scripture than I normally do. It's going to take me about 4 minutes to read all of this scripture. And we're just going to let the Word of God speak for itself. How many of you know the Word of God is more important than the Word of Cody? Come on, somebody. And so I'm just going to spend some time reading the Word of God. Let's pray, and then we'll read the Scripture. I'm going to pray for those of you who have ADHD, who have a hard time focusing and paying attention, which would include me. So let's pray, and then I'll read some Scripture. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 5 to start with. Father, we love you. We thank you for today. Thank you for life. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you that you have given us the Word of God that gives us wisdom and it gives us teaching and training and it even convicts us, Lord. So I just pray today that your Holy Spirit would come, that your Holy Spirit would give us focus, that we would pay attention. And I pray that the word that you have laid on my heart would not fall on deaf ears, that it would penetrate our hearts and our minds, speak to us, challenge us, encourage us. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Proverbs chapter 5, starting in verse number 1. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen carefully to my wise counsel. Then you will show discernment, and your lips will express what you've learned. For the lips of an immoral woman are as sweet as honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is as bitter as poison, as dangerous as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. For she cares nothing about the path to life. She staggers down a crooked trail and doesn't even realize it. So now, my sons, listen to me. Never stray from what I am about to say. Stay away from her. Do not go near the door of her house. If you do, you will lose your honor and will lose to merciless people all that you have achieved. Strangers will consume your wealth, and someone else will enjoy the fruit of your labor. In the end, you will groan in anguish when disease consumes your body. You will say, "How I hated discipline! If only I had not ignored all the warnings. Oh, why didn't I listen to my teachers? Why didn't I pay attention to my instructors? I have come to the brink of utter ruin, and now I must face public disgrace." Verse 15, drink water from your own well. Share your love only with your wife. Why spill the water of your springs in the streets, having sex with just anyone? You should reserve it for yourselves. Never share it with strangers. Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. She is a loving deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts satisfy you always. May you always be captivated by her love. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 24. It will keep you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue of a promiscuous woman. Don't lust for her beauty. Don't let her coy glances seduce you, for a prostitute will bring you to poverty, but sleeping with another man's wife will cost you your life. Proverbs 7, verse number 1. Follow my advice, my son. Always treasure my commands. Obey my commands and live. Guard my instructions as you guard your own eyes. Tie them on your finger as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Proverbs 7, starting in verse number 6. While I was at the window of my house looking through the curtain, I saw some naive young men, and one in particular who lacked common sense. He was crossing the street near the house of an immoral woman, strolling down the path by her house. It was at twilight in the evening as deep darkness fell. The woman approached him, seductively dressed and sly of heart. She was the brash, rebellious type, never content to stay at home. She is often in the streets and the markets, soliciting at every corner. She threw her arms around him and kissed him, and with a brazen look, she said, I have just made my peace offerings and fulfilled my vows. You are the one that I was looking for. I came out to find you, and here you are. She said, my bed is spread with beautiful blankets, with colored sheets of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink our fill of love until morning. Let's enjoy each other's caresses. For my husband is not home. He's away on a long trip. He has taken a wallet full of money with him and won't return until later this month. So she seduced him with her pretty speech and enticed him with her flattery. He followed her at once like an ox going to the slaughter. He was like a stag caught in a trap, awaiting the arrow that would pierce his heart. He was like a bird flying into a snare, little knowing it would cost him his life. The topic of discussion for today, and the topic of discussion that Solomon spent so much time talking about, is sexual sin. It is something that I think that we don't talk often enough about within the church. I don't think we talk about it. I think the world is about sex. I think TV is about sex. Our culture is about sex. Hollywood is about sex. And we don't do a really good job about teaching and training our children. And we don't do a good job in talking about the temptation of it in the church. I was at the back door after first service, and one man, particular man that I know that many of you would know, came to the back door, and he said, I've been attending church since I was 7 years old. I am now 77 years old, and I've never heard anybody preach about that topic before. How in the world can we expect to raise our children knowing what the Bible says about sexual sin if we leave our children to learn it from the public education system or from someone that they hang around? How can we do a good job? How can you and I, as grown men and women, overcome the temptation of sexual sin if we don't talk about it? Why, Cody? Why do we need to talk about it? Because it is destroying our world. It is destroying our marriages. It is destroying our youth, our families, and our nation. And the first thing that we got to know and we have to understand today is this, that we were all created by God and we are all created as sexual beings. It is what it is. We were created by God to connect within the confines of marriage. We were created to connect in the confines of marriage sexually. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 says this, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. There is only one way that a man and a woman can become one flesh. We're created with this desire to connect with the opposite sex. We're created to want to connect emotionally, relationally, spiritually, and yes, created to need that sexual connection as well. Now, let's just be honest. Can we just be real today? I got two of you. Praise the Lord. Women are more created to connect mentally and emotionally. It's just the way it is. That is their needs. That is their desires. And men are created to connect sexually. And all the men said, their needs are needs. God made us this way. If you think your husband is wanting you too much, listen, it's not just him. It's all of us men. It's the way that we're created to be. Needs are needs, and men have needs, and women have needs. And men are not barbarians because they think about connecting sexually, and women are not weak because they think about connecting emotionally or mentally. It's the way God created us, and needs are needs. We all know, according to Scripture, this sexual connection was commanded to be within the confines of biblical marriage. We need to know that. Your children need to know that. That is what sex is one of the perks of being married. It's what Scripture teaches us. By the way, let me just say this. For those of you that are sitting out there today and you have young children, I'm going to tell you something. Parents, you need to have the sex talk with your children sooner than later. You need to have it. You need to have the sex talk and the biblical sex talk with them before someone at school does, before some of their friends do, or before they discover it on their phones. You need to teach them about it. Is it awkward to talk to our kids and have the sex talk with them? It's very awkward. Buckle them in the, get them in the car, buckle them in the seatbelt where they can't get away, and have that talk with them. It's awkward, but it is necessary. I will say this, we suggest, our plan was that me as the father, I talked to the sons because they connect, they understand more. And the women have that talk with the girls in the beginning. You know what? What age? I don't know. We had ours with our kids when they were probably 8 or 10 years old. You know the maturity level of your child, and the Holy Spirit will lead you. This sex thing, it's a struggle for all people of all ages. From 8 to 80, we're going to struggle with it. It's out there. That's why our world seems to be obsessed with sex. How many of you would agree with me that we tried to raise and train and teach our children and protect them from seeing things at too young of an age? How many of you would agree with me? It's hard to even watch TV or the movies nowadays. Every commercial has got something to do, every show. And you know what? The enemy is behind every bit of it. The enemy is behind every bit of it to try to attack the biblical family. Let's just level on something. One of the reasons it's such a struggle is because men are created with a huge sex drive. It's been any man that is an aggressive man, that is a fighter, that is a warrior, that is filled with testosterone, he's going to have a huge sex drive. And men are created to conquer, to win, and to achieve. And our world says for young men, the more women you can have, the more you've conquered, the more you have achieved. That men are created that way. Women have a huge need to feel loved and to feel cherished. And unfortunately, in our world and our culture has told men if they can have sex with women, they have conquered. And unfortunately, our world has misconstrued love more often than not. Love is equated to sex. And women feel like if I can get that person to have sex with me, then I feel cherished and I feel loved. It's been a struggle from the beginning of time. It's just become more easy for us to notice it and see it these days because our world is obsessed with sex and because of the internet and social media. The Bible's full of men and women who have succumbed to this temptation. Just to list a few, David, Gomer, Abraham, the woman caught in adultery, Samson, and ironically, Solomon. The guy that wrote these Proverbs. I think that's one of the reasons that Solomon spent so much of his time talking about it, because he knew firsthand the negative effects of sexual immorality. 1 Kings 11:3. He had 700 wives. God bless his heart. Woo! He had 700 wives, and they wouldn't do what he wanted, so he got 300 concubines to go with that. And in fact, watch this, they did turn his heart away from the Lord. He was obsessed with this sexual desire and it turned him away from the Lord. And I'm not saying it's an excuse, but I want you to know this. Solomon learned what he learned from his father's actions. because his father David was a guy that engaged in very, very much sexual immorality. Can I tell you, fathers, can I tell you, dads, more is caught than is taught. And if you want your sons to do better, then you have to do better as well. Solomon saw firsthand the negative effects on everyone involved. For the remainder of our time today, I want to talk about this guy named Samson. About this guy named Samson and his struggle with sexual sin. Samson was born to a woman that was barren. She couldn't have any children. She fasted and she prayed, God, give me a child. And God finally said to her, I'm going to give you a child, but this child is going to be special. And this child is going to need to take the Nazarite vow, which meant he was going to live a holy life from the beginning of his time, that he would never drink strong drink, that he would never eat anything unclean, and he was never, ever going to shave his head. Samson was a very strong and a mighty man for the Lord, but he had a weakness. He had a weakness for women and for sex. In Judges chapter 16, it tells a story of how Samson went down to Gaza to sleep with a prostitute. I want to make this statement right quick. Sexual sin doesn't just happen. People say to me all the time, oh, it just happened. Oh, I just got there and I just got caught up. Sexual sin does not just happen. It's many choices over and over and over again. Samson, for example, it was 40 miles from his hometown to Gaza, where he went to sleep with this prostitute. 40 miles. You know what? The average person takes 2,000 steps per mile. That would mean it was 80,000 steps from Gaza down to meet with this prostitute, which means this, 80,000 times Samson chose to enter into sexual sin. He went down there with lustful thoughts and he took a step. Maybe I shouldn't go. Oh, no, maybe I'm going to go. Oh, this is going to be good. Oh, she's going to be pretty. 80,000 times he made a choice and he made a decision and he continued to step towards sexual sin. It started the demise of Samson. Soon after this encounter with the prostitute, Samson entered into another ungodly sexual relationship with a woman named Delilah. Soon, that relationship went south, and Samson was taken captive by the enemy army, the Philistines. I want you to see this. Before Samson, who was born for greatness, Samson, who was strong in the Lord but gave in to his weaknesses, I want you to see that right before he died, the Philistines gouged his eyes out. I think it's very ironic that he would die having the thing that caused him his greatest temptation to be taken away from him. Can I tell you something? Guard your eyes. Guard your eyes. Your eyes are the window to your soul. Guard your eyes because sexual sin is dangerous. I want to close with a few points for us to remember and think about. Men, I'm talking to you. Guard your heart and guard your eyes. Guard your heart and guard your eyes. Guard your heart and guard your eyes. Sex is everywhere you turn. How many of you have just been in town lately? How many of you men walk by the Victoria's Secret store in the mall? Come on, somebody. It's all directed trying to get our attention focused on that. Sexual sin is everywhere, and right here is one of the easiest ways to see sexual sin and to get it started in your life. It's pornography. Statistics say that 1 out of 3 men view pornography regularly. In the church. Not out of the church, but in the church. 1 in 3. Think about that in here. Used to when we talked about pornography, we talked about only to men. Can I tell you that statistics say over 40% of women view pornography on their phones or their computers these days. Statistics say this, by age 11, most kids have already seen pornography, and over 40% of them have seen it during their school day on their phone or someone else's phone. Can I say this to you? Your kids may call you a fuddy-dud, and your kids may say that you're invading on their privacy, but I'm telling you, if your kids have a phone, if your kids have a tablet, if your kids have some kind of computer, you make sure that you know what they're watching and what they're viewing on that thing. It's your responsibility as a parent. Because pornography, I'll tell you what it does, it wakes up that sexual desire within us. We're created as sexual beings, and when we see that and view that, it stimulates something and it wakes it up inside of us. And love is not meant to be awakened until honeymoon night. It may not be cool right now. It may not be the most popular thing, but it is the God thing and the God way. And sexual desire should not be awakened until honeymoon night. Can I say this to y'all? That's why a woman wears a white dress on the wedding day. It is to signify purity. She puts on her white dress and she puts a veil over her eyes and she walks down the aisle to present herself to her husband clean and saved for that moment. Song of Solomon 8, Song of Solomon 8, verse 4, daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. Men, I say it to you again, keep your eyes on the Lord and keep your eyes on your wife. Let me talk to you about the difference in looking and watching. Can I tell you that when men are living and when the men are walking around and they look and they see a beautiful woman, is it a sin because they look? No. But I'll tell you when it becomes a sin, when you start watching. Whoa. You start watching her. It's awakening that desire. So look and go, God, you did a good job there. And then find your wife and get your eyes on her. Can I say this to you women? Don't seek false and empty love and acceptance through sexual activity. I'm going to say it again to you women. Don't seek false love, don't seek empty love, and don't seek acceptance through sexual activity. Look at me, women. Look at me, single person. Look at me, young girl. You are worth more than that. You are worth more than that. And I'll say this also to you women. Don't become a stumbling block to the men that you are surrounded with. Because I'm telling you, have you seen the way these girls dress these days? Come on, somebody. I mean, let me read some scripture. 1 Timothy 2:9. And I want women to be modest in their appearance. How many know modesty is sexy? Come on, somebody. If you want to be treated with respect, then dress yourself with respect. If you want to be treated like a hoe, dress like a hoe. Just saying. And I want women to be modest in their appearance. They should wear decent and appropriate clothing. Doesn't mean that you have to look ugly, because some religions say you have to wear a bun, long sleeves, and a long skirt. That doesn't make you holy. That makes you ugly and hot. Just saying. You should wear decent and appropriate clothing, not draw attention to yourselves by the way you fix your hair, wear gold, pearls, or expensive clothing. 1 Peter 3:3-5. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothing. You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. This is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They put their trust in God and accepted the authority of their husbands. Don't become a stumbling block to other men. One more thing, ladies, can I say this to y'all? Look good for your husband. You cannot wear a zip-up onesie and rollers every day of the week. Come on, somebody. Look good for your husband. That's part of the perks of being married. When you were dating him, you knew how to woo him. When you were dating him, you knew how to dress and fix your hair and your makeup, and you were trying to get his attention. Don't let that stop once you enter into the covenant of marriage. Remind him who you are. We went to a wedding here a month or so ago, and a couple from this church were at the wedding. And this lady usually dresses pretty business professional. And we get to the wedding, and she's got a little old knee-high skirt on. She's got some high heels, and she's looking good. And I said, dang, girl, you looking good for your husband tonight. She said, I'm just trying to remind him I can look good. Remind your husband. Remind him. So one of my cowboy heroes, a guy named Bobby Thompson. I loved Bobby Thompson. He had a wife, Anita, had two daughters, and he ran the Triangle Ranch. He worked for the Sixes. And when he died, we went and did his funeral. And before the funeral, I met with his daughters, and we talked about their mama and their daddy and their marriage. And they told me every day mama would come pick us up from school in Paducah. Every day, Mama would come pick us up in school from school, the two girls, and said, about the time we'd get to the ranch every day, Mama would pull her ruby red lipstick out of her purse. She would get in the rearview mirror, and she would put that ruby red lipstick on. And the girl said to her, Mama, we're just going to the ranch. What are you doing? She said, I know we're going to the ranch, and my Bob's going to be there, and he likes when I wear makeup, and I want to look good for him. I'm just saying, you got to do that, because you know what? If you don't do it, there is an immoral woman, or there is a promiscuous woman that is out there, just like Solomon said, who will seduce him, who will flatter him, who will talk about perfume and do everything she can to get your husband's attention. Keep on doing it. If your husband loves for you, if he provides for you, if he cares for you, I know us men ain't perfect. Can I hear a good amen? But if your husband gives you your needs and your desires, then give him his needs and desires too. And let me just throw it out there. However much you're giving him, it probably ain't enough. Just telling you like it is. That's the way we're created. Most preachers won't tell you that, but I will. And let's say it again. If you put $5,000 in the offering plate, I'll say it one more time. Husbands, love your wives. Keep your eyes on her. Support her. Love her emotionally and mentally. Wives, keep your eyes on your husband. Look good for him and provide for his needs. Lastly, I'll say this when it comes to the sexual desires. Young people, single people, people that are not entered into a biblical covenant of marriage, I want to say this. Run from sexual sin. Run from it. You may not think now that it's a big deal, but I promise you, God has a mate for you and a spouse for you. And someday when you find that perfect spouse, you will wish you hadn't have done what you'd done when you were young. Run from it. Guard yourself. Fight with everything you have, because sexual immorality and sexual sin is an empty road full of darkness, regret, pain, suffering, and condemnation. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. God's will is for you to be holy and to stay away from all sexual sin. One more. 2 Timothy 2:22, run away from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Conrad, worship team, would y'all come help me close this today? Sexual sin is a problem. Men, women, young people, old people, married people, single people. It's a temptation that the enemy is using right now in our world, and it's readily available everywhere. And listen to me, look at me, I'm almost done. Look. You can justify your relationships. You can justify your sin. You can justify who you're sleeping with. How many know we can all justify every sin that ever happens? But the fact of the matter is, the Word of God is our guide. And if we're going to go by the Word of God, then we have to go by all of it from Genesis all the way to end of Revelation. And sexual sin is commanded by God to be within the confines of a biblical marriage and a covenant, in the covenant of marriage. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, because I would be a total fool to think that there's people in here today that aren't struggling with it. Some of you are struggling with it right now. Some of you have struggled with it in the past. Some of you have a tainted past. You weren't taught maybe this. You weren't taught correctly. And your sins of your youth are haunting you now. They're wearing you out. They're weighing on you. I want to tell you something today. There is forgiveness in the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, sins of your past, there may be some consequences for it, but the sins of your past were never meant to label you and define you and weigh you down for the rest of your life. Ask for forgiveness. The blood will wash over you and forgive you, give you a new heart, make you a new creation in Christ Jesus. There is redemption today. And I'm going to say this to you guys and girls. If you're struggling with sexual sin, you're struggling with it, you feel like you're alone, pornography will draw you out of society and draw you into a lonely place where you look at it in your room because you feel condemnation. You have these sexual relationships that'll draw you away from the people that you love. If you're struggling with it, get out of the darkness and come into the light, because the light shines and the darkness has to flee. I say this to you, if you're struggling, find a good, godly, trustworthy friend or leader and let them hold you accountable, because iron sharpens iron and one man or one woman sharpens another. We're better together than we are by ourselves. And for you young people, better than going through the forgiveness and the guilt and the shame and all that, better yet, be strong and avoid it. Set some standards in your life right now. Be on guard. Parents, teach your children. Talk to them. Teach your children to be on guard. Here's what I'm going to do in closing. I want us to have an altar call today. An old-fashioned altar call. I did it in first service too. I'm going to ask you today, if you're here and you struggle with sexual sin, but you say, I want to be done with it. How many of you would agree that when we get in a trap, it's hard to get out sometimes, but we can get out and we need each other. If you struggle with sexual sin, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to come forward so I can pray with you. With all of you as one big group. Now, some of you are already going in your mind, oh, there's no way I'm getting up in front of my peers and going down there today, because then they'll know that I struggle with sexual sin. Well, the fact of the matter is, if we're all being real honest and real transparent, probably every one of us in here needs to come down to the front today. So I want you to take courage. If you struggle with a distorted view of sex, because you've seen pornography and you've seen the joke and the mockery that's made of it, you struggle with it. If you struggle with pornography, if you and your marriage and you're struggling in this area, I want you to get up and make your way down here and let's pray. Let's pray, because there's power in prayer and there's power in agreement, and there's something when men and women get together with the same goal and the Holy Spirit comes. The Bible says that the yoke of bondage is broken by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to lay this out there too. Wives, if your husband gets up and comes down here, don't you rake him over the coals on the way home today. You celebrate that he was willing to admit that he struggles. Husband, if your wife comes down here to the front, don't you rake her over the coals and ask her 40,000 questions. Celebrate that they were willing to admit, because when we confess our faults, that's when we will be healed. If your young kids come down, celebrate with them. Let's celebrate today, and that God is going to change lives. So I'm not going to beg you. I'm not going to ask you another time. If you struggle with any of those sexual sins and you want to trust God for deliverance today, altars are open. Just come stand right down here. We're in the front of this place, and I'll pray for you. God bless you, brother. It just takes one to be the catalyst. It just takes one. God bless you. We'll wait a minute, because this thing's real. God bless you, men. Been looking at it on your phone, taking steps towards it. God bless you, men. Father, we love you, and we thank you for today. I thank you for the men that made their way down to front of this church house today. I thank you for the men that got up and said, I'm not going to let anything stop me. I want to be set free and I want out of this trap, because I know in the words of Solomon that I'm in a trap and the arrow is coming from my heart. So God, I thank you for some men with some spiritual balls in here today. They say, I don't care what people think about me and I don't care what anybody says. I want out. They want out of the trap because they want to be good husbands, and they want out of the trap because they want to be a good example to their sons and daughters. And so today, I pray, God, you would open up the windows of heaven and you would pour out your anointing spirit in this place. I pray that the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead would come and reside in the hearts and the minds of these men that are standing down here in front of this room today. That God, when they turn around and when they leave, they just feel something different. They feel a shift in their mind. Lord, I pray for the ones down here that are married, that you would turn their eyes back towards their wife. And Lord, I pray that their wives would begin to look at them and flatter them and seduce them. Lord, I just pray for marriages to be restored, Lord. I pray for sons and daughters to look up and see a dad that is a good dad and a godly dad and a dad that's not afraid to call on the name of the Most High God. Lord, I thank you that the yoke of bondage is broken by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so I speak it and I pray it over these men today. Chains are broken in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name that is above all names. There will be no more desire to look at someone else's daughter on the phone. There will be no more desire to have a distorted view of sex according to what the world says. Today, holy men, today, men of God, today, men, the day that men can drive a stake in the ground and say, that is the day that it all changed. Lord, bless these men. Strengthen them. Strengthen their marriages, God. We love you. We bless you. We celebrate it today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, church, put your hands together and trust what the Lord has done today. Let's close with worship.